I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
And you're listening to the Film Ninjas Podcast. Well, on today's episode, we are continuing our topic on comic book movies.
Yep. Today we're going to talk about X-Men Days of Future Past and the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Contrary to what we said earlier, we're going to talk about the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that's coming out in August.
We thought Guardians of the Galaxy, it's got such a big universe to play around in with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That can wait for a later podcast. Who knows? We may do it in a couple weeks. But we're still sticking to our guns with comic books because, believe it or not, most people may not even know this, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started out as a comic book. Eastman and Laird. I remember I had a couple issues, but for the most part, I just watched the TV show.
When did those comic books come out?
They came out like in the mid to early 80s.
Yeah.
And that's when it got like crazy popular, and then they said, dude, let's make a cartoon.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I remember the Saturday morning cartoons. That's when I used to watch them.
Yeah, that's what I remember. Did you have the action figures at all?
No.
I didn't. Dude, I got a whole box full of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I got the whole sewer playset.
No, instead of all those, I have my Beyblades, which are actually sitting right here. I had Beyblades.
We're probably going to play with those later.
Oh, yeah.
Just letting you know. But yes, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and of course, X-Men Days of Future Past. I'm a little leery about this one. We'll tell you why later on. But yeah, it's...
So what about news? We got upcoming news? I mean, the t-shirts, we still have t-shirts to give away.
As far as we know, nobody has emailed us once about the trivia question. So it makes us wonder who is listening to our podcast. Not that we don't mind, you know, people listening to us and then never responding to us, but it's a little creepy, to be honest.
Is it though? I mean, I like having viewers. You guys can stay creepers. I like you guys.
I don't mind the listeners, but I feel like I want to hear some input from you guys. So,
I think we got an email once from your mom.
Yes, and didn't we get one from like one of my aunts?
Yeah,
your aunts.
Yeah.
Okay, that was helpful.
No, it wasn't.
As far as anything else goes, though, the t-shirts, the trivia question is still up for grabs. Whoever sends us in the answer to a trivia question, even if it's wrong, we might consider just sending it to you. Because then at least you tried.
Or and kind of.
We'll give you an A for effort.
I want the t-shirt, so. I mean, we're
wearing the t-shirts right now. I'm wearing three of them because I forgot to wear shorts today.
Where's the third one?
Underwear.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
No, not really. That'd be gross.
Thank God.
But, hey, yeah, maybe we need to create Film Ninjas pants.
News. That's not news, Michael. No. We need news.
Yeah. commentaries. We are probably going to head back to commentary land. And we're still deciding on what we want to do. So
we just need to consider a movie and decide on what, you know, we just haven't done one in a while. That's where we started. So, you know, maybe find a movie that we actually would enjoy doing a commentary on.
We'd love your input on that, though. So be looking out for that. That'll probably be coming within the next couple weeks. That's about it for news. Yeah. So let's get right into it. Which one do you want to start with today? X-Men or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I have a lot more knowledge of X-Men than I do TMNT. Mainly because my only knowledge of the Ninja Turtles is from being a child and watching the cartoons.
Same here.
where do you want to start? You just want to start with the Ninja Turtles? Because we can ramble about X-Men all day.
Did you watch the X-Men cartoon at all?
Yeah, all the time.
That was pretty good.
It was on Saturday mornings, just like right with TMNT.
There's that one. It was on Fox. That was like back in 92.
Yeah, but it's Saturday morning.
Yeah. Did you ever watch X-Men Evolution?
I'm sure I did.
I forget what channel. I think, was that it? Was that on Cartoon Network?
I have no idea.
I believe it was.
Was it?
Something like that.
Back when Cartoon Network had good cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, I can't believe these days now. Cartoon Network, that's like,
well, if you
half
think about
the stuff they put on there is not a cartoon.
If you think about what we used to watch as kids, though, on Cartoon Network, like, my favorite show as a kid was Johnny Bravo. If I watch that now, it's just something visually entertaining to watch as a kid. But, like, nowadays, I'd be like, why am I watching this? There's nothing to watch this show for.
What, you'd really question that? What was they have a Cartoon Planet on still now? I can't believe they brought that back, but it's got Brack. You remember Zorak and Space Ghost?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was... I don't know what was up with that show. Well,
the Cartoon Planet. Have you ever heard of Cartoon Planet?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Cartoon Planet, if you guys haven't heard about it, it was a show based off of the Space Ghost mythos where this guy, Brack, he's actually a bad guy, but they play him for, like, comic relief. And so he's in charge of this, like, talk show called Cartoon Planet where he doesn't really talk about anything important. He just... In between the cartoons, like, he's just talking about, hey, here we go, we got our next cartoon. Like, he had, like, a really goofy voice.
Yeah, I don't know. He would, like, interview random people, and they were supposed to be, like, celebrities that were popular, but I had no idea who they were.
It'd be, like, Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish, and he's like, why am I on this show? Like, like, I'm talking to a guy in a green screen suit. Like,
yeah, there's, yeah.
But, yeah, on that, that was, like, the precursor to... I think that's when they first started showing, like, cartoons, like Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Lab, Johnny Bravo, Ed, and Eddie.
Ed and Eddie, yeah.
That's how they showed those. I think they even, like, before that, it was, like, doing the reruns of Tom and Jerry.
What was that?
Looney Tunes.
I used to watch the thing. I can't remember what day it was on, but it was like, Tsunami, I think is what it was
Toonami?
Called. Toonami? Toonami,
That's you. When they had Dragon Ball Z and all the anime
Dragon
stuff.
Dragon Ball Z and Gundam and...
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you remember Ronin Warriors?
It sounds very familiar.
It was like some.
It might have been one of those things where I was like, thing. It might have been one of those things where
Mobile
I was like,
Mobile Suit Gundam, I was
it.
All over that. I have memories of the show, but put a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you what it was about. It was like, it's robots fighting. I'm 12. I'm watching it. Like,
it was sick, though. I used to watch that, and, oh, I can't remember the name of it, where the guy was in the big, it was like Mobile Suit Gundam, but it was like the American version.
Big O?
Of it. No, not Big O. Big O was cool, though. I really liked Big O.
Megas XLR?
No, they were in, like, his suit was called the Liger. And it was, like, they would go into these big arenas that were, like, desert oasis landscapes or whatever. And they would fight each other. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
Yes. We'll have to look that up later. We don't have internet today. This sucks.
You don't have internet. I'm curious.
Fine, just rub it in my face.
I want to know now.
Well, as Justin's looking it up, we'll get back into talking about X-Men. So, X-Men Days of Future Past, if you guys don't remember, some of you guys, if you're listening, you probably weren't even born when the first one came out. The first X-Men came out in the year 2000. And as far as I can tell, that's when the real big superhero movie boom started going nuts. Yep. Before that, there was...
I'm so happy it did, too, because I love superhero movies.
I think there was Blade before that, like in 98, and maybe something else. I don't think... That was like pretty much the real first superhero movie. After X-Men came out, then they're like, we gotta do Spider-Man. Then they're like, we gotta do Fantastic Four. And then it didn't even happen until a couple of years later, but Batman Begins started coming back.
Zoids! It's called Zoids.
That was it. Everyone kind of disregarded the first Superman series that started back in the 70s and then the Batman stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s because from Batman and Robin, which was in 97, until around the year 2000 with X-Men, nobody wanted to touch a superhero movie because Batman and Robin kind of killed it for everybody else.
The one with like...
Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy. It was just so campy, so over the top. It was just really garish.
You were old enough to understand I wasn't... I was still pretty young at that point. I was just watching and I'm like,
I remember I was like, oh, I'm so excited for this. And I remember I couldn't wait to go to the movie theater to watch it.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember any of that. I just remember watching it. I just remember the scene entirely. I remember the scene where it was like Mr. Freeze and they're in the lair and everybody's there. And they're all fighting and like sliding down stuff. And
is like, it looks like an action figure playset.
Right, exactly. Or like when Robin kisses Poison Ivy or whatever, he's like, I have wax
Rubber lips.
Yeah, that thing.
I'm like, that's cool. I'm going to get rubber lips.
For what reason?
Then I actually started paying attention to it and I was like, wait a minute. This guy doesn't even look like Bruce Wayne. This is a completely different guy. That already kind of shattered the illusion for me. Like, I couldn't pretend George Clooney was Bruce Wayne. I would have been fine if they had Val Kilmer still, but I heard he knew how bad it was getting, and he was like, nah, forget this. I don't want to taint my career with this. And luckily for Val Kilmer, he went on to critical acclaim and nothing ever again. So
well, we should probably get to X-Men, though.
Yeah.
Well, cause like we were because we were talking earlier about X-Men, and you asked me if I liked the series. The cartoon. Well, you asked me if I liked the series, and I said, yes, I liked all of them. And you gave me a big sigh of disappointment.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I liked all of them. I'm watching for entertainment, but...
In my heart, I am a comic book nerd. I can't get away from that.
Yes, yeah, I'm not.
Justin isn't. So he can kind of watch these things with...
without a care in the world. No expectations.
He can watch them very objectively. Or not. I don't know. But the point is like we come from two completely different point of views when it comes to the X-Men movies. My biggest thing with it is that from the year 2000 to today, when they're not necessarily today, but like 2014, they're releasing the latest X-Men movie in the series. This series is 14 years long.
Sweet.
Any movie series that is that long, even like James Bond, the Star Trek movies, I guess you could even throw in there,
You're not naming any bad series right now.
Well, but they're still, you'd have to agree, because of the number of movies they've done, there's like, oh my gosh. A lot of those movies are great, but there are a couple stinkers in there.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm just getting to the point now, like, where I'm kind of caring a little bit. But I've always been one to, if I can sit in a movie and I can be enveloped in the story and just watching and being totally mesmerized by it.
You got your money's worth?
It's a good movie. I mean, because, like, people will talk about the plot holes because, oh, it doesn't relate to the last one. And it's like, yeah, if we want to talk about how it relates to the last one, then, yeah, I can give you all my opinions on that. But do I care? Not really.
I'm a stickler for those things, mainly because I've been a writer. I've done things. And it's just like, if it doesn't make sense, then it's like you didn't do your job right.
I get that, but I just... I'm just a carefree child in the wind.
Well, good for you. I think it...
You started talking about some serious plot holes, I mean, earlier.
To me, it's important to know that in X-Men, The Last Stand, the third one, where Jean Grey, she goes all crazy and becomes evil and everything like that.
Which was totally awesome.
It was cool. Like, I was really anticipating the Phoenix storyline. We can get to that later, but...
Yeah, that was really short.
The first opening scene, you see Professor X and Magneto coming to the home of Jean Grey when she's a little girl, and they both look really young. And I thought that was cool. Like, wow, they did some really good effects work to make both of them look at least, I think, by that point, like 20 years younger.
And Xavier's bald.
He's still bald, but he's up and walking. Now, I didn't mind about that, about the time. Because, well, of course, like, they're going back in time. There was a point when Xavier still could walk. My biggest problem, and it wasn't even really a problem then either, because X-Men First Class came out, and, yeah. When X-Men First Class came out, it showed at the very end of the movie, and this is a spoiler, just for you guys letting you know. Magneto basically shoots Professor X in the back, severs his spine, makes it so he can't walk. But at that point, he's not bald, and
he's younger.
He's much, much younger looking than he looked in X-Men The Last Stand, and I think there was a little clip at the very end of X-Men Origins Wolverine where he's bald, younger looking, and still walking. When they showed it at the very end of X-Men The First Class that he's not bald, he's even younger, and he can't walk. It created kind of this, like, wait a minute. What's going on? I thought Professor X could still walk at a certain point up into his life. Like, maybe until he was, like, around 50-something around there. Then he makes it so he can't walk and, you know, whatever. Now, even up to that point, though, I still didn't care because I had thoughts that X-Men First Class was a complete reboot of the whole series. And I was like, okay, that's cool. Whatever, you know, if they're rebooting the whole series, then everything else that I've seen doesn't matter. Now with this new movie that they're coming out, X-Men Days of Future Past, they're combining all the movies together and it creates lots of plot holes. They're like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. This happened before that. Why is Beast looking like this when he showed up in the first movie and he didn't look all blue and furry.
They kind of had that. He was younger before he was blue and furry or whatever.
In the first X-Men, he shows up on a newscast, like, where he's talking with a bunch of other senators.
Yeah.
And it says his name, and it says, like, Senator, or, like, Secretary of Mutant Human Affairs.
Yeah.
He looks completely human. Whereas in X-Men First Class, then, it's like when he's, like, a young guy.
Right.
Like, in his 20s. He uses some serum, and then he turns blue and furry then.
Right. Wasn't there a point in time, it might have been the cartoon, I'm not sure, or it was a movie, when they did, like, some hyperbolic time chamber type thing, and they were able to, like, perfect their powers, but it aged them.
Yeah, kind of thing. I remember that. There was a whole thing with Apocalypse.
Okay, maybe that was it.
Yeah. But that was a cartoon.
Yeah, no. They'll probably answer some questions.
I hope so, because I have hope for this, because I liked X-Men First Class a lot better than some of the other ones.
Right.
I didn't like The Last Stand as much. I liked it that you got to see more of Colossus and Beast, really, for the first time.
Right.
And the Phoenix Saga was cool. And as much as I didn't like the movie version of Cyclops, I thought it sucked that he just died the way he did in that movie. Just like,
he could have used more screen time.
They just vaporized him off screen. And I was like, oh, that sucks. Like, I know he was a douche and a jerk, but he didn't deserve that.
In the cartoons, he was much different, too. I mean, he was the leader.
He was the leader.
Right.
Also, I mean, I was okay with it a little bit that Professor X died in X-Men The Last Stand as well, but it felt like it went over the top, and at that end of the movie, you're like, okay, well, now what? Like, everybody's dead. Like,
all right, let's go to the past.
Yeah, like, okay, now we got to go back in time so that we can get all the same actors back. Because then the movie just, it didn't seem interesting. Jean Grey was dead. All these other, like, actors were dead. Like, great. So I hope they fix all these things, and there's a lot you can do with that, because X-Men Days of Futures Past, it's a whole, like,
as long
going
as the
back
movie,
into the past and the future.
Right, as long as the movie fix, itself is, like, good, just on standing on its own. Because, like, a plot hole relating two movies together, like, doesn't affect whether I want to watch this new movie or not. You know? This movie explained this part of the story, and then there's an entirely different movie that explained this part of the story, and then there was the plot hole relating the two. But in neither circumstance am I gonna not watch those movies because of the plot holes, because of the relation to each other.
Well, I mean, even in hindsight, I would still totally watch X-Men, X-Men 2, and all those other ones, because they're great movies on their own. Yeah. But I think they started kind of writing themselves into a corner by basically changing all these things, and then, oh crap, wait a minute, that stuff hasn't happened yet, or like, that wouldn't work because,
right, they just
Professor
writing,
X can't walk.
Writing as they go, yeah.
He has cyborg legs. Yes, okay, I win. Like,
maybe they were experimenting with stuff. Like, maybe, like, they were trying something. Like, he had, an exoskeleton under his pants for his legs, or something that walked for him, and he goes, I don't like this, I'd rather have the chair.
Yeah.
So, like,
they have a lot of explaining to do, though, but
very simple explanations, though.
Well, one of the simplest things, and I read this online, and I think it makes a lot of sense, is X-Men First Class, it can totally be its own timeline, and almost like a reboot there, and then all the stuff we've already seen, like X-Men, X-Men 2, all that is a completely separate timeline because of where it sets up. It's like,
maybe it's because they went into the past and messed with all the stuff.
Well, like, you know how it wasn't Back to the Future where Biff, like, hands off the almanac to his old self and it creates a split in the timeline and there's two different versions of the future?
Right.
One where he doesn't, one where he does.
Okay.
What if they could do, like, the same thing, because, you know, one where there's a total war with the humans and the mutants, and one where there really isn't and it's still tense, but
I mean, what
nothing
if the,
bad happens.
Hey, what if the plot holes were on purpose? Like, what if, like, in this one, it's like that. Because they went into the past, they started messing with things. Like, things started changing.
Well, we know for a fact they're not really on purpose, but they can make it so, like, we were doing that the whole time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. That's how you fix it.
That's called a retcon in the business, folks.
That's what smart people
writer's do. Best friend. Especially in comics. Because where everybody has powers, no,
everything
I wasn't dead. I was sleeping because I was an alien. Like,
that sentence made sense.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm still going to give it a high rating anyway.
I will too, and mainly because Brian Singer is back to direct this one.
Ah,
okay. What makes it better than, because the other ones, when Brett Ratner came into it, he did Rush Hour 3, like the worst Rush Hour.
That was awful. Yeah. It was a terrible movie.
No,
I'll be absorbed in movies. Couldn't even get absorbed in that one. It was just bad.
Well, but, I mean, you imagine, you know what he did, like, X-Men, X-Men 2, great movies. X-Men 3, you're making the storyline suck, dude. Like, it's guilt by association. Like,
I don't remember it enough to, I'd have to go watch them again. All the original, the first ones.
To me, the biggest sin for me, and it really doesn't affect the rest of the storyline, it's just because I love Deadpool so much, is X-Men Origins Wolverine. Oh, if you're a comic book fan and you know of Deadpool, you are feeling my hurt right now as I talk about this. The Deadpool character, he was great in the very beginning of the movie. He's known as the Merc with a Mouth. And the coolest thing about him is that he's totally aware that he's a comic book character.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, Deadpool is one of the best characters of all time, in my opinion, because he knows he's in a comic book. He makes friends with his little thought boxes that he sees on the page. He's like, oh, those little yellow boxes. I love those guys. Like, it's like they're always at odds with each other.
How would you even do that in a movie, though? Like, what would you...
Oh, I don't know, but if they can find a way to do that, I'd be so happy. And it's Ryan,
like a 3D effect thing where they, like, poke at the screen or something.
He would totally do that. There's been times where he's, like, poked his sword at the comic book page and, like, dude, what the heck is this? What kind of paper? They need to fix this. The publisher doesn't know what he's doing. This is crap.
I'd be very interested to see how they would do that in a movie.
Ryan Reynolds, I thought, was a great choice for casting for that.
That was very interesting how they, like, all the makeup they did for him when he became Deadpool was...
At the end of the movie,
yeah.
Actually, it wasn't him. Okay, they used a digital face of his likeness, like just the eyes, and everything else, it was a stunt guy with just the mouth for makeup, like...
Lame. Okay, I was going to say, it definitely, like, you could see that it was him, probably because it was his eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was very, very different, which was cool.
And the stupid thing, like, oh my gosh, I don't even know how that works. He had full-length swords just coming out of his arms. Like, his arms would have to be a superpower.
Like, Wolverine has those huge claws that come out. Those don't fit in his hands.
No, but they're supposed to just fit in his forearm.
Yeah, but...
He had full swords that were supposed to, like, his length of his entire arm.
Maybe they materialize from his hand. I mean, it's a superpower. It's not exactly explained. I mean, it's not like it's realistic.
I get it. But...
It's like, how does Wolverine regenerate so much? That's not a human trait. Like...
No, but... There's a certain point where, like, superpowers, like, that's just completely ludicrous. Like, I know you can't ever have any of these things in real life, but to a certain point, like...
It's definitely interesting. I mean, I know what you're talking about. I remember thinking the same thing, but I also thought, well, whatever. It's a superhero. Who cares?
What I really didn't like is that let's jam-pack as many superpowers in this guy as possible, and then he did. He had the laser eyes, right. The regeneration, teleportation.
Yeah. And he still got beat? How did he get beat with all that stuff?
It didn't make sense to me.
Bad fighter.
And then like at the very end, he starts, his eye beams just keep going, even though his head got cut off.
Right.
Whatever.
It's cool.
It was cool. Great way to destroy a nuclear reactor.
I also wonder where, as far as out as those went, because it like also pointed down, like how far does that laser thing go? I mean, it cut through that like it was nothing. It'd like chop a part of the earth off or.
Well, eventually, if you saw the ending of the movie, he picks up his own head and like puts it back on.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They had like two different endings. Anyway,
oh.
If anything, I hope they're like, forget that Deadpool ever existed. We're just going back because, trust me, you would even love him, the Merc with a Mouth. You got to look him up. He's like, he's got some great comics.
I think I remember seeing, I never had a comic book, but I remember seeing that kind of stuff online.
There's some great animated movies, too, that feature Deadpool as well.
I'll look him up. Well.
What do we got next? Our next movie is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's going to be really interesting. I mean, Michael Bay is doing it, so obviously the CGI is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
He's
always going to have the great big budget for it.
Of course, yeah. He's done, amazing work before, so they're just like, here, take my money. Like, but the turtles look awesome, dude. They look great.
Do you remember seeing the old 1990 movie?
Was it a live action?
Yeah, it was live action.
No, I don't remember.
Justin is going to have to take a look at that, because to me, the biggest problem with the turtles in this, in the trailer that we watched, they have lips. And I get it, they're supposed to be like a human mutation kind of thing, but...
Do they have lips?
Yeah, they have
really
lips.
Look, it didn't really look like it. I don't recall seeing that.
Check it out, they totally have lips.
I'll have to look.
Other than that, and I'm willing to go with it because, okay, obviously they're mutants. They're not going to look... If they look just like giant turtles, that... Well, that I'd like that, though, too, but...
I mean, they do.
They look like mutants. They look like they're human size.
But they also look powerful.
Like, they do look very powerful.
Like, they look strong, stanced, and agile, kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is something that's very hard to accomplish. Oh, yeah, he does, huh?
Yeah, maybe my biggest concern is that Megan Fox plays April O'Neil. Which, if you remember from the cartoon series, she doesn't look anything like April. And also, April isn't...
Yeah, but she's hot.
Not that hot.
I don't know what's wrong with you and women in movies, but you don't like any of them.
I have a list. I have a list of my favorite actresses, and
we'll go over that at some point. But we'll have to figure out if there's ever a woman in a movie that you actually like.
Name like five women off the top of your head.
Emma Stone.
She's hot.
Okay.
Really hot.
Yeah, I know. She's like my favorite. Jennifer Lawrence.
She's hot.
Okay. Megan Fox.
No, I don't like her.
Why?
She's stupid.
Well, that doesn't affect her hotness.
Yeah, it does.
No, if you're talking about beauty, that's a different thing. But being hot, that's just purely looks.
Not to me.
All right, well, we obviously have different definitions of words then.
Okay, well, then I'll put this to you. What about some of these women? Anne Hathaway.
She's pretty. I mean, she's not hot.
What?
She's attractive, but... You know,
come on.
I you already know my favorites.
All right. Okay. How about? I know she's a little bit old, but I still think she's really hot. Is Diane Lane?
In her earlier years, definitely. Maybe not so much nowadays, just because of the age difference between, like, her and myself is massive.
Okay, understandable. I'd still hit it, but. Kristen Bell.
She's pretty, but she's not my forte.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Okay.
Well, regardless, TMNT. I'm looking forward to it. It looks really cool, and Michael Bay has it, so it's probably a lot of explosions.
Yeah. The biggest thing I'm looking forward to, though, is William Fichtner. He plays the Shredder. What'd you think of him?
Every time I see him, all I can think of is Prison Break. That's what I think.
To me, what was he in? He was also in Heat. You remember the opening scene in The Dark Knight where they're trying to rob the bank? Well, okay. They do rob the bank. He's the guy, he's the bank employee who comes out with a shotgun.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even know.
He was also in Heat. And
I noticed.
That's the reason why he was in that scene, is because that opening scene looks a lot like Heat because it's a bank robbery.
So
they're playing off that. They brought him in just because of that.
For that one scene.
So awesome, though. Dude knows how to play creepy, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, yeah. And not so much creepy, but I think especially in this role, he is very sinister. I mean...
I've seen trailers, but I haven't seen much about him yet.
We see a glimpse of the suit, the Shredder suit, in the trailer. We never see him in it. But, like, do you know enough about the cartoons to know that Shredder was originally named Oroku Saki? He's from Japan. He was a rival of Hamato Yoshi, who, depending on what version of the story you hear, either he turned into Splinter, or he was Splinter's master when Splinter was a pet rat.
I remember him being Splinter's master.
Okay. Well, either way you go about it, he's like the enemy of Splinter, and then therefore also the Turtles.
Right.
But he's Japanese.
He never sounds Japanese.
Ever. What? In the comics? In the TV show? Oh, yeah, that's...
In the comics? He never sounded Japanese in the comics.
When he takes off his mask, he definitely looks Japanese.
Does he?
Okay, yeah.
Let's get it. I don't remember him. I don't remember ever seeing him with his mask off in the cartoons.
I remember there's a one episode where Shredder, he gets hit on the head, and he thinks he's Michelangelo.
I do remember that.
Yeah, and he takes off his mask. He's like, dude, look at this pizza. Like, and it's the Shredder. Like, he thinks he's Michelangelo, mask, and he starts fighting all the foot soldiers, and they're all confused. Like, dude, wait a minute, why are you fighting us? You are a master. Like, but Shredder is supposed to be totally Japanese. I don't mind it if they bring in another guy who can play the role really well. And as far as I remember, in the TV, the movies, the 90 and 91. I'm pretty sure there's, like, mentions, and yeah, I think he looks Asian, at least, in the movies when he takes off his mask and stuff like that, but I don't know. Because he's in the mask and in the suit, like, all the time, it's basically, you could have picked, like, any Asian-looking guy in a suit, and he could have played Shredder. Because all it was after that is just, like, you know, body language movements and the voice. You know, if he can nail down a Shredder voice.
And even then, he's got the helmet on, so anybody can voice it.
Yeah. So, William Fichtner, he's a great actor. I think he could definitely pull off the role of Shredder with aplomb. So I'm looking forward to it for that.
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be really well done. I haven't been disappointed by Michael Bay's stuff yet, so. I haven't seen anything other than Transformers by him, so. Or I might have, and I just don't know.
I didn't like the second Transformers, just to let you guys know. I did like the third one enough.
Why didn't you like the second one?
Something weird about they're teleporting just, like, straight to Egypt, and then Sam's parents come into the picture all randomly. I couldn't get past that.
They were kidnapped.
I didn't get that. And then the way they treated Optimus Prime's death was kind of funky. They could have handled it better, I'm just saying. It's not like...
I don't know.
It's Transformers. Not everybody liked the entire series whatsoever, but I am excited that he's doing a fourth Transformers with Mark Wahlberg.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And also because I was getting a little tired of Shia LaBeouf. I think he was kind of annoying.
I don't, you know, I'm just a fan of him because I used to watch him on his, what was his TV show?
Even Steven.
There you go, Even Steven.
He got kind of weird. Like, after he did the Indiana Jones movie, he was like, dude, I'm like the best actor in Hollywood. And
I don't recall him saying that, actually.
He said that, like, pretty much. He pretty much said that in an interview, and he was, like, telling, like, other child actors that they're nothing compared to him because he's worked with Steven Spielberg, Michael Bay, and everyone else was like, dude, like, the only reason you got those roles is because, you know, you had family connections and you're Jewish. Like,
what?
Pretty much. And it was kind of true because you look at other child actors who, like, have actually done, like, really well with their careers. Like,
how many are there, really? There really aren't. A lot of them just, like, fall into this pit of drugs and self-loathing.
It's true. And basically the only difference between that and Shia LaBeouf is that he somehow made, like... Took less drugs than the others and made, like, a cool quarter of $1 billion by the time he was, like, 30.
You know, so he's kind of well off.
Well, besides all that, I think, you know, I'm still looking forward to the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie just because of what it is. Like,
it's going
to
be awesome.
I'm not going to not go see it.
No, it's going to be awesome. I don't care how many plot holes there are.
Well, the good thing to that is that they're starting off fresh. So there's not going to be too many.
So we'll just wait for the third one for them to ruin it?
Yeah. That'll about do it for us at the Film Ninjas Podcast. I'm Michael.
I'm Justin.
Stay shady, Film Ninjas.
You've been listening to the Film Ninjas Podcast.